In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. There are a couple of salient points that I wish to cover. You know, it was said that Herod sent out his soldiers to slay the children, and he figured that there was room for a mistake if he didn't broaden the age group from newborn to 2 years of age. And it says that all in this area were slain, except for one besides Jesus. Who was that one? Huh? I hear rumblings, but it sounds like, you know, you're hungry or something. Somebody said John the Baptist. And that's true. What happened to John the Baptist? Does anybody know? You know, they went to his father to complete the killing, and they found his father praying between the altar and the Holy of Holies. The altar was outside the Holy of Holies. It's where the sacrifices were made, the blood offerings. And he was praying out there, and he was killed because he wouldn't tell where his son was. And in truth, he didn't know. In truth, he didn't know. Because the Lord, according to the traditions of the church, had instructed his mother, Saint Elizabeth, to take her son, John the Baptist, and to go off into the desert, where it is said that a mountain split open. They went inside and it embraced them. And nothing is impossible for the Lord. And these men certainly knew about John the Baptist, about Zechariah's son, to the extent that they went to Zechariah and they slayed him because he was not forthcoming about the whereabouts of his son. And they intended to maintain to the letter the command of Herod. Now that's one thing. So keep that in mind. Another thing is, have you ever heard about Jews, real Orthodox Jews, not the fake Jews? The fake Jews are like the fake Christians, right? Fake Christians, just throw a rock and you'll hit one in the head, you know? I used to say the same thing about Orthodox and Shobra. Throw a rock in Shobra and you'll hit an Orthodox Christian in the head, because they're packed in. Well, in our society, fake Christians, using the vocabulary of our president, Donald Trump, fake Christians abound. And a fake Christian is somebody who is familiar with the Bible and can quote some verses, but their actions don't follow in any significant way. It's just they're familiar with something. Like if you any book of literature, you might know something about one of the great books of literature. And if somebody brings it up, you can add what it is that you have gleaned from reading it. So they can do that. But a real Jew will keep a dietary law until this day. Women will keep what is called a kosher kitchen, and they will have two sets of pots and pans. They will have two sets of dishes and glasses. And the injunction is, as you do not bathe the lamb in the milk of its mother. You do not bathe the lamb in the milk of its mother. So therefore, I remember one time they were having a big feast, and the Jews were showing up, and somebody who didn't know anything about it, this was a political kind of a gathering, and they had Muslims, and they had Christians, and they had Jews, and there were these Orthodox Jews, and they tried to serve them a seafood Alfredo, which included shrimp and scallops and mussels. all of those foods are illegal for Jews, and then you throw the milk on top of that, you have a real pile of heresy on a plate in front of each one of them. So it's a great insult. It's a great insult. But do you know who this prophecy was really about, that the Jews keep the dietary law until this day? You do not slay the lamb bathed in his mother's milk. They're talking about Jesus. Who is the lamb but Jesus? Jesus is the Lamb of God, and he's at his mother's breast, nursing, bathed in her blood. It suffuses him. It gives him physical life. Physical life, organic life, the same life that we have. You don't feed a baby, the baby cries. After a while, the baby grows so weak, it stops crying, then later on, dehydrates and dies. You have to feed a baby. So this was talked about. But you see the symbolism that is missed by everyone? Just go ask a Protestant sometime, where's St. Mary in the Old Testament? They can probably barely find St. Mary in the book of Luke in the New Testament. But they have no idea where she is. They don't see the prophecies as they were. And it was prophesied, this is going to take place. Now, you've already heard in the Cynic Star that the children that were slain by Herod's soldiers, by his order, that these children comprise the 144,000 virgins who are under the altar, who are asking the Lord, and this is an important point, for revenge. They're asking for revenge. Yeah? And you think, well, why in embraced as they were in the bosom of the Lord, why would anybody want revenge? Well, it's not revenge in the sense that we on earth ask for physical revenge. It's a different type of revenge. It's the kind of balancing so that everybody understands exactly what took place. It was not just 144,000 were slain. And by the way, you know what the Jehovah's Witnesses make of this number. This is the number that they think are going to be in the kingdom of heaven. Then they counted up back in the 1930s and figured that they had more than 144,000. And they were completely flummoxed. And then in the 50s, they decided that the end of the world was coming. And so they told everybody, sell everything that you have. It's okay, the end of the world is coming. And of course, the end of the world didn't come. And then the Jehovah's Witnesses were flummoxed again. But guess what? They just keep on going. And of all places, they knock at my door. You know, you'd think that the word would get out. You know, they open up the door and they see a giant icon of St. Mary. I said, come on in. Let's talk a while. Well, this kind of stubbornness is unrelenting. Think about the holy gift that was bestowed upon the world, a gift like nothing that has ever again been made to us, this gift of the birth of light in the world. Jesus is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And what was the first reaction of Herod? Jealousy, hatred. My throne is going to be pulled from me. What am I going to be? I'll kill this person. Is this not what the husbandmen did to the man that had lent them the vineyard? He sent an emissary, give me some of the produce from my vineyard. They beat him and sent him away. They sent a second man. He said, look, you know, some of the proceeds, come on, you know. The first guy didn't listen to it. This guy is of more importance to the house. Listen to him. And he said, I'll send my beloved son. And so what are the people that he had lent the vineyard to? What was their reaction? This is the heir. This is the one to whom the inheritance belongs. It won't belong to us anymore. We won't be able to prosper from the proceeds of this vineyard, this land. Let's kill him. This is what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ as a reaction. Let's kill the baby. Kill the baby. When you look around at some of these noisy babies, you might want to hit one or two, but you don't want to kill them. Just be quiet a little bit. Put a sock in it or something. Okay, I'm sorry for being facetious, but the point is that it's always the object of the devil to turn us away, to turn us from the correct focus. We should not be thinking about ourselves on Christmas Day, not thinking of presents, not thinking of anything except the birth of the Savior. And on the Epiphany to say, he's saying to us, here I am. The dove is above his head. The voice of heaven confirms. The Holy Trinity is present, and the whole world should rejoice. And in the ancient church it did, because Christmas was not for one day. It was for 12 days. You've all heard the song. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. Right? This is the song. And they go through each day up to the 12th day, from Nativity to the Epiphany. Christmas was a 12-day feast, not a one-day feast, not something where Saint Nicholas comes and bestows relief on the poor. All right. There are many, many things to say about this. The Lord did not flee into Egypt. He did not flee into Egypt. He was not afraid. But he was possessed of a body just exactly like ours, and that body of his would be hurt if a sword would be brought forth. So the only thing he could then do, his mother, his father, his uncle, and the midwife. Remember, in the Holy Family, there are five, not three. The Holy Family consists of a midwife named Salome and James, the brother of the Lord, or Jacobus. The point is, they're not going to withstand the soldiers from Herod's army. So then the Lord would be left with no other means of protection except by using his divine power. And his time wasn't yet. Remember at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, he said to his mother, "What have you to do with me or I to you in this situation? It's not my time." And of course, she didn't relent. She just told the people at the feast, do whatever he tells you, knowing his compassion and love. But he was not going to, as an infant, declare. Now, in Islam, in their book that they read all the time, called the Quran, there's a nativity story about Jesus Christ who, when people came to question Saint Mary, how do you have a baby and you have no husband? And they began to ridicule or to examine in a way that was inappropriate. What happened? Jesus spoke. Jesus who? Jesus the baby, the child Jesus. No one can speak when they're a baby. They make noise, but they don't speak. But he defended his mother. This is in their confessional religious book, the Quran. So it was not his time. And so this is why he went into Egypt as an economy, so that in the time, the fullness of time, called the Pleroma, in the fullness of time, Everything would be manifest according to the plan of God the Father Almighty. And this is what took place. There's much more to say, but next year is another year. I want you to love God in a deep way. And the only way that you can show that is if you sacrifice your own intentions, if you sacrifice your own desire, if you sacrifice your own sleep. There is no way for you to show that you love God without some physical manifestation of that love. Is it difficult or is it hard? Yes, it certainly is. Will you be tired? Yes, you will. Will you be hungry? Yes, you will. Will you be thirsty? Yes, you will. You may have a headache. You may have a stomachache. You may have anything. That five-letter word is coming again. Tough. Tough it out. Become tough people. Saint Cyril, in his exposition on the Gospel of Saint Luke, uses the term manly Christianity. Manly. This is not a characteristic that is only for men. One, my admiration for Saint Marina in this icon that is over there shows you exactly what manly Christianity consists of. She was blamed for fathering a child. You are the worst person. You have defiled one of the women. One of the women of Israel. You have done that. Or one of the Christian women. She's a woman. She can't father a child. She can't father a child. All she had to do was open her mouth and say one word, look, and she could have revealed herself. She didn't. That's what you call manly Christianity. You have the power to take yourself out of temptation, the power to take yourself out of pain, or just simple boredom. You have that power. So you can stay home. We will be praying the prayers of the Epiphany. You can stay home. Or you can be manly and be here or somewhere. Is there school tomorrow? Yes. The next day, yes, there's school. Is there work? Yes, the next day there's work. Does the world go on without notice of this great event? Yes, the world goes on without notice of this great event. Is it much easier to go to this event in Egypt? Much easier. The Muslims all know you're not going to show up the next day, or you're going to show up just part of a day. They all know that. Here, nobody understands, nobody knows. You take a greater burden and therefore a greater blessing. So please, think about this. It's coming next week. And glory be to our God, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.